League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 901. It's the 19th of October 2017. On the podcast today, I have Carl Smithson, CEO of Stella Diamonds, that's STEL, and Carl talks about the disposal of their Guinea assets and the progress at their 4.5 million carat high-grade diamond project in the diamond fields of eastern Sierra Leone. Also on the podcast, Simon Weisenberg from K1T Capital and also from PowToken.com. And Simon's talking about PowToken, a cryptocurrency he's giving away for free. All you need to do is go to the PowToken site, which is PowToken.com, and log in with your Facebook account, and you get allocated free PowTokens or PowLights. And they're hoping to develop this as a real currency worth something. So you get allocated a certain amount. So however much you get, maybe become real. You may get rich. You never know. Who knows? I've done it. You know, it costs nothing. So why not give it a go? And Simon's a nice guy. I like the concept. Also on the podcast, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers Unilever, London Stock Exchange Group, that's LSE, by the way, Tesco, EasyJet, and IWG, one of the biggest fallers today. They were called, Regis, they were called. They're down about 33% a day. Also on the podcast today, as always, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Carl Smithson, CEO of Stella Diamonds, that's STEL ticker. Carl, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, morning. Justin, good to talk again.
Yeah, you've had some news out in the week. We'll get that in a bit. But as always, for people new to the podcast or haven't heard of the company, Carl, explain, summarise what Stella's all about, please.
Yeah, Stella's a focused diamond company, really focused on Sierra Leone, developing a mining asset in the east of the country now, which has a very significant value. So that is the future of Stella.
Yeah, and do you know what? I wrote a blog on you recently because I just think it is a compelling project, and also in no small part because you know the size of the company. I mean, my market cap is shy of 2 million, and when I wrote the blog a couple of weeks back, I was showing the NPV of you know your project there in Sierra Leone is 40 times your market cap, which is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit eye-watering, that, isn't it, when you put it in that context? But it's true. I mean, the project has a after-tax, actually, NPV of about $110 million. That's a value attributable to Stella, IRR of over 30% after-tax. You know, so that is a very compelling and very robust project. And you're quite right, our market cap of around about $2 million. It just goes to show that, you know, the market's not realizing the value of what we have.
Yeah, we'll get to, obviously, you need to sort of raise some money to get the mine into operation and stuff. We'll just touch on that in a bit. Before we do that, though, you did have other assets which you're in the middle of disposing, which should also bring you a bit of cash. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's all about strategic focus for Stella, as I've mentioned earlier. You know, the project in Sierra Leone stands head and shoulders above everything else that we have. We've done a lot of exploration work in Guinea. We've mined some diamonds, actually got about $5 million in revenue over the years. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that they are non-peripheral, non-core projects to Stella. So we made a decision earlier in the year to basically offload these. There's a group that's purchasing them for $1.25 million, of which they've already had advanced $500,000. So, you know, the net cash of that, less a few expenses in exiting Guinea, let's say, will be cash coming into the company and just basically add to the working capital balance.
Yeah, so I've just got my calculator out and looked at this. So you've got $1.25 million. You've already got $500,000. You've got to pay $123,000. What's this, tax in Guinea?
It's taxes. Yeah, I mean, we've done an audit, and you know, the authorities that be deem that we owe a certain amount of tax money, which is fair enough, and we'll pay that, and then leave Guinea on good terms.
Yeah, so that's $627,000 to you, which is about £475,000. So that in itself is a quarter of your market cap, pretty much. And so, and like I said, that's non-diluted, just cash straight into the coffers. When do you think you'll get that then, Carl?
Well, any time now. Actually, we're going through the payment process of the tax in Guinea. So, and that will trigger basically the final release of the funds. All the share purchase agreements are signed. Everything's just now waiting for that tax clearance, if you like.
Okay, well, let's go on to the main project here, Sierra Leone, then, and let's go through some figures here. So, how big is the resource? What you hope to be producing from there, and what's the progress there, Carl?
Right, we've done a lot of work here, as I previously explained on these podcasts. We've got 4.5 million carats in resource already drilled out through 66,000 meters of drilling, like 10,000 carats of bulk sampling. You know, a total spend of about $40 million, $45 million from both parties. This is the Octea Mining and ourselves, and this gives us a 21-year life of mine. We've got a very detailed mine plan, and this is in production within less than 12 months once we are funded. And you know, very high grade, very high diamond values equals high margin, and we're looking at once in optimal production of around about 200,000 carats a year, that gives about $45 million in gross revenue. So you know, that's a very good project by anybody's measure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, on the blog, I was looking at that, and it's compelling. I mean, $45 million of US dollars per annum, when you consider, and it's a 21-year mine life as well, like I said there, and like, again, 2 million market cap. So obviously, what you need to do here is get that finance up and running to get this mining. So how much money do you need, and how is discussions going on that?
Yeah, well, pure capex, that's just, you know, money into the ground, let's say, to build all the infrastructure in the mine is just over $32 million. But you know, you've got to add on to that the working capital. There's obviously a cost overrun that would be sensible to have, etc. So, you know, we're looking at a sort of a global figure, if you like, of around about $45 million. And you know, the challenge for any small cap company trying to raise a large amount of money like that, you know, it is challenging. But having said that, we've got a great group that we're working with that's you know, dealing with certain debt groups, certain sort of private equity groups, etc. And you know, we're in discussions with a number of these. These things take time. I think everybody would realize and appreciate that. But you know, we're eminently hopeful that this will work because of the value of the project. At the end of the day, people have to see beyond the small market cap and see the value of the project that will be unlocked into the future value of Stella itself.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? I mean, if you know, like I said, how confident are you of success here, Carl, in this, you know?
Yeah, I'm confident. I mean, we've got to believe in the project because the project is genuine. It is robust. It's a fantastic project. Irrespective of Stella's market cap, you know, the project stands up by anybody's measure, and people should be able to invest into that project. So I'm confident that eventually we will get the funding for this.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I was talking about this in the weekend podcast. I said to mates, I mean, Stella's very small. It's a microcap company. But if you're going, I mean, on a very simplified level, if I'm going to a bank and I say, I've got this business proposition, I've got this, and these are the figures to stack up, and, you know, we've done a lot of work on it, a lot of money's been investing in it, and this is what it is. And at the end of the day, they say, will they get their money back at the rate they've loaned to you? And if it seems a compelling project, that's what you loan on. That's the basis for your loan, surely, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't agree with you more in that analysis. You know, the project turns very good cash flow and at a high margin. So, you know, the model that we're running shows that we comfortably handle a certain level of debt within this, if you want, capital structure. So definitely it has merit.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's hard to say, but do you have any kind of time frame on where we you hope to, you know, secure this?
Well, that's the impossible question for me to answer, isn't it? If I say if I say 1 month and it runs to two, then you know I'm an idiot. But you know, just that you know these things will take time. We're making advances on a number of fronts, and it will be done when it will be done. Unfortunately.
Yeah, cool, excellent. Well, Carl, it's, hopefully it's going well, and I suppose the next bit of news you get to receive is probably the money, is it? Or what's the next bit of news hoping to get?
Well, a couple of things. One will be obviously the final closure and receipt of funds from Guinea. The second thing will be the mining license in Sierra Leone, because don't forget we've settled the 150,000 payment for the environmental license there, which triggers the mining license to be issued. Mm-hmm. And thirdly will be news on the funding, I expect.
Yeah, okay. All right, Carl. Well, if anyone's listening right now, Carl, and they like the sound of this, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, and by the way, if they do hit that follow button, they get notification straight to the front screen of their phone. Give them three reasons, Carl, why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Well, I think just to summarise what we've discussed, you know, market cap versus project value and NPV is just, you know, the main sort of headline, if you like. 50 times of the market cap is the value of the project. And I think also we mentioned the resource, you know, 4.5 million carats gives us 21-year life of mine. There are a further 8 million carats identified, not yet in resource. It's been drilled, it's been tested, but, you know, it just needs a bit more work. So, in other words, we could have a much larger or a much longer life of mine on this project, and obviously an increased value. And finally, the commodity we're in, diamonds. You know, it's I think the near term is has been a little bit sluggish this year, although prices are up slightly. But I think the long term, the fundamentals still stack up. You know, there's a very good outlook for the future pricing of rough diamonds based on the supply demand fundamentals. And I think it's a good commodity to be in.
Yeah, and it's also worth saying it's the area you're in there. I mean, it started this year, wasn't it? One of the biggest diamonds was discovered.
Yeah, they're calling it the Peace Diamond now. This is on sale in Europe at the moment through the Rappaport Group. It's 709 carats. It was picked up by a pastor just from an alluvial area around the well-known Kono Koidu area. And this is an area that's produced diamonds, up to 970 carats in size. So Sierra Leone is a renowned country for large diamonds, and we're in the thick of it.
It'd be nice to discover one of those, Carl, wouldn't it?
It would be very nice. I think that would solve our funding problems.
Exactly. Carl, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Weisenberg from PowToken.com and also K1T Capital. You all right, Simon?
I'm good, yeah. How are you doing, Justin?
Good, thanks. Now, you've often come on and talked about your quant fund, but 2 weeks ago you came on and talked about PowToken.com. It's an ICO in the cryptocurrency space. Explain a bit more about it, if you could, Simon.
Okay, yeah. Quite simply, we are a new global cryptocurrency, and we're bringing cryptocurrency to the mass market, so to the everyday user in the street, we're making cryptocurrency available and easy to use. Many people have heard of Bitcoin and Ethereum possibly, but it's mainly the tech community who are using or understand cryptocurrencies at the moment. And what we'd like to do is make cryptocurrencies available to everybody.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, we've basically linked up with Facebook, and we're making our token, the POW token, available to anybody with a Facebook account. And we're making it very simple and easy to claim. They just click login with Facebook, and they will be allocated an amount of free POW, which, if you like, gives them a starting balance to use and share with their friends.
Yeah, and this is where you sort of differed, because, I mean, I know the ICO world has been going crazy of late. Everyone's sort of launching their own currencies, but they've, like IPOs, they've been selling their currencies, so you have to actually part with cash. Now, you're a bit different, where you get free. All you need to do is log in. And I did say, why do you want my Facebook login? And some people were skeptical, saying, are you trying to, you know, get all data? And you said, no, it's not for that. It's just to stop too many people registering on one account, or you can only register once. So I registered. And I got to say, when I first registered, it was like, I think it was like, worth about $3,000. The amount I got was worth about $3,000. And then it went up to six. Someone said to me that 2 days later on Twitter, said, have you seen your power account? I said, because mine's gone up. So I looked at mine, it was like $6,400 or something ridiculous for my 2.2 million POWs, whatever they're called. And now, I mean, obviously, the more people log on, so explain this. The first person that did this got 10 billion, was it, or 10 million?
Yeah, so that lucky claimant received 10 billion POW tokens, which would be worth somewhere in the region of $1 million US right now.
But the second person then get half that, and it continues that along that way, is it?
So the premise is that we feel that the value of any currency, whether it's the US dollar, the euro, or any currencies that you're used to using, the true value is in the network of users that hold that currency. Mm-hmm. And the larger the network of users, the more useful that currency is, and therefore the more valuable that currency is. And so what we're trying to do is grow the largest network of users possible globally, and thereby increase the value of this currency. And the easiest way to get a large network of users in a shorter space of time is to give that currency away free of charge to the network. And in order to create urgency, i.e. To incentivize people to come and claim their free currency quickly, we're giving it away on a first come most served basis. So the first person received 10 billion tokens, the second person received 10 billion divided by 2, the third person 10 billion divided by 3, and so on and so forth. Currently, users who are claiming are receiving in the region of 300,000 tokens as they're claiming. And obviously, the curve flattens out. So the amount of tokens that users are receiving as they claim is not reducing as rapidly now as it was at the start.
Yeah, so my worth is now $128. What's going on there? It's gone from $6,400 to $128. So how has that happened then?
Okay, so what users are receiving right now is what we're calling POW Lite, and POW Lite is our way of giving people cryptocurrency, if you like, with training wheels on. It's a user-friendly environment where they can pass these POW Lite tokens between their Facebook friends. At the same time, we have launched POW on the blockchain, on the Ethereum blockchain, and it's trading live on a public exchange. It's called etherdelta.com. And like any currency, the value of that currency, or the price of that currency, the exchange rate, can be volatile. And certainly because POW is very much in its infancy, the exchange rate is extremely volatile at the moment. So when you're seeing the value of your tokens rise and fall, it's because the price of POW on that exchange is rising and falling. But what we're saying is that over time, the more users who claim their free tokens, the larger the network grows of POW holders. So the trend will be for the value of the currency to rise. So it's in everybody's interest, actually, to tell their friends and invite them to come and claim their free tokens, because the more people who join, the more valuable their tokens will become.
And so how's it going at the moment? How many sort of, I don't know if you want to reveal figures, but what's the take-up?
It's all very transparent. So we're at around about 34,000 claimants at the moment, and we'd like to grow faster than that. So, very much it's a call to action to everybody to tell their friends. Mm-hmm. But we're also, if you like, we've got a number of initiatives to help improve the functionality and also thereby hopefully help the claimant growth. Because as this claimant growth rate rises, so will the value of the currency. And it should be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because as the value of the currency rises, it'll be even more attractive to come and claim your free tokens. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we've done is we've introduced a new claim validation process, which is interactive. So actually the users are now validating the new users and making sure that they're valid claimants and that they haven't just set up a Facebook account or it's not a bot that is setting up Facebook accounts simply to claim the currency. Mm-hmm. And that's nice and interactive. And it's also a way for users to earn more POW, because if users have a choice, if they'd like to do some claim validation, then they will earn POW for each claim that they validate.
So how do you do that then? How does that work?
It's quite simple. If you go back and log in, there'll be a message on the page where you log in, inviting you to do some claim validation if you like, and you just click the button. We'll show you a new claim which is pending, and it's a yes or no to validate the claim. It's really whether the Facebook page of the claimant was set up before the 15th of September.
Okay, I see. Okay. And then how much extra do I get, Si? How much more do I get?
So for each claim that you validate, you get 1% of whatever that claimant was receiving.
Okay, all right, cool.
And then there are other initiatives. We're also going to be launching a referral scheme in the next few days, and referees will be able to earn more POW by referring their friends. So they'll get 1% of whatever their friends claim for each friend that makes a valid claim.
Okay, so the referral thing or the claim thing. So I go in there, log in, and what do I look by? I mean, we're on the page, I can't see where I need to go.
So the claim validation is live. The referral scheme is not live yet. It will be in the next few days.
Yeah, claim validation is where? Where do I see that?
It should be. It may be that we haven't set it live for everybody. But if you are you logged into your POW token page now?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, and you can't see a green section at the top of the page which says validation program.
No, I can't see that.
Apologies. We haven't set it live for everybody yet, but it will be very soon. So within the next day or two, users will be able to validate claims, and there'll be also be a referral program.
Okay.
There'll be two ways in which POW claimants can earn additional POW.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. And so you just mentioned that the next milestone is you said what's the next bit? The next two bits of milestones is what?
Yeah, so and then the next thing we're going to do to improve claimant growth is to integrate with Twitter. So at the moment, you can claim by logging in with your Facebook. Mm-hmm. In the next few weeks, we'll have a Twitter button there, and you'll be able to log in with your Twitter account details. So that'll increase the audience and make it easier for people to claim their free POW.
Marvellous. Sounds all good, Si.
Yeah. And what else is happening? Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, sort of future trends, obviously, again, it's about making POW useful and giving it utility. So, you know, this may be a few months out, but we'll be working with merchants and retailers and creating partnerships so that they will accept POW and you can start paying for POW at retailers and merchants.
Excellent work. It's a good idea. I love the idea. And hopefully, you know, in a couple of years' time, we'll all be millionaires from the best investment ever. No money Absolutely. Invested from me, but become a millionaire from...
You can't beat a free investment, can
exactly.
you?
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't get better than the return. You know, your return on capital is phenomenal. Mark, Simon, good for that. And listen, come back on in a couple of weeks' time or a month's time when you do your next update, and we'll have a chat then, okay?
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is founder of FinancialOrbit.com. It's Chris Bailey. You all right, fella?
Hello, Justin. Yeah, very, very well. Very, very busy, actually. It's one of those earnings season Thursdays, and there's too many companies around the world coming up with their thoughts on life, etc. So busy old day.
Okay, well, I know you sort of cover the bigger end of the stock market, which is good because I know a lot of guests I have on are from the smaller end, so it's always nice to have you, you know, keeping an eye on those stocks. So who's reporting? Who's got news out, Chris?
So we've got to start with Unilever. I'm sure that's a really popular stock among many listeners for the yield, for the relative stability, for their range of brands, etc. And obviously, it's done quite well. I mean, they turned down that bid from Heinz Kraft. And actually, since then, the share's gone from strength to strength. You look over the last year, who'd have thought Unilever could have been as exciting as that? But there you go. Obviously, the improvement in the emerging markets has been a help, plus the fact that they turned down the Kraft bid and said, look, guys, we can actually run this business even better than what we've told you, which always seems a bit funny that a bid induces them to come out with those sorts of comments. But there you go. The numbers today, the shares, though, today are down 3 or 4%. I don't own Unilever, and I've been struggling with the valuation. So in a way, I'm not surprised by today's move. But what's really interesting is when you look through the sort of the metrics and the detail, and what they're saying is that their developed market business has been, down, shabby, or at least much worse performing than the emerging markets business. And, you know, just to quote you a couple of stats, just to give you a feel for sort of the differential between the sort of the positive emerging market business and the negative developed market business. I mean, emerging markets during the last little while were showing 3-4% growth, whilst the developed markets are actually showing a decline. And that's in their quarter three numbers. So, you know, there's a big differential between the two. We all know that the emerging markets have a lot more medium-term potential. But what's kind of interesting, of course, is that it's, I think, the sort of the relative dullness around the developed market comments has probably hit the shares today. And you look through the reasons, you know, they're sure they're blaming the hurricanes in the States. They're blaming sort of some of the issues around sort of costs and everything else. And my favorite excuse, the soft ice cream market in Europe, which I thought was a wonderful turn of phrase. So there you go. Perhaps that bad weather, which has afflicted a variety of shares, including Merlin the other day and Green King a few weeks ago, maybe has hit Unilever's ice cream market as well. Who knows?
Yeah.
I was buying from the supermarket. It's a bit cheaper, to be honest.
Yeah. But, I thought ice cream was supposed to be soft, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is it. Maybe it's too soft. Maybe that's the problem. Who knows? Maybe it's gone all runny, a bit like the Unilever share price.
Exactly, yeah. It's unusual to see a big sort of, 54 million market cap down by almost 4%.
But I think it reflects the fact that when these things become so loved up, and I think people correctly applauded Unilever's management's response to the bid. They actually said, we're not going to roll over. Actually, we take on board what we say, and actually we think we can run the business better. The markets love that, cost cuts and everything else. But the reality is, you look at Unilever's share price today, you look at its valuation, it is very firm. And I'm pretty sure anyone who's made good money on this bought this at a much lower rating, but also a much higher yield. And today, you know, when I look around in the alternative sort of yield scope of the market across a variety of other shares, I think to myself, do you need to own something like a Unilever? And I've come to the conclusion you don't. I mean, a sub 3% yield on the stock just isn't sufficiently compelling to me to buy it, despite the fact that with their brands and their relative stability, obviously in a market apocalypse, you know that they're still going to be around. But, you know, everything, I think this area's just got a bit too loved up. And I'm not surprised to see the shares down today off what is a slightly patchy statement, but nothing too terrible. They reiterated their broader numbers in the wider scheme of things.
Cool. All right. Anything else there, Chris?
So talking about deals and companies kind of not doing them. Quick word on LSE, probably the London Stock Exchange. Obviously, we all use them at some level or form, or at least use their price quotes or whatever else it might be. They've come up with an update today. A couple of interesting points. Again, this year, you may recall that they were trying to do a deal with Deutsche Börse, the big German exchange and related deal. That didn't work for a variety of reasons, perhaps a little bit of Brexit, a little bit of personality and everything else. Anyway, since then, they too have gone from strength to strength. You look at the share price chart over the last year and the share was 26 quid and now it's 38 quid. And, you know, these are miraculous movements for what are fundamentally, large companies. A couple of interesting points today. Look, number one is the shares are slightly down. There was nothing particularly troublesome in their trading update. It was all right and moving in the right direction. However, their long-standing CEO has decided to move on. It is very orderly. It sounds as if they will start the search and hope to appoint somebody in the next 6-9 months, something like that. But that's just taken the edge off the share. And again, you know, I look at the valuation. And if you're an income investor, this is not going to interest you. This is a sub 1% yielder. But this has been really a capital growth story. But even from a capital growth perspective, I'm sorry, but this is trading in, if you use things like PEG ratios, you know, PE versus the growth rate, this is trading on a PEG of 2x. Mm-hmm. And Unilever has exactly the same problem. And, you know, it's funny, on the 30th anniversary of Black Monday, which you and I, Justin, obviously are too young to remember, obviously.
Yeah.
But I remember it well. And bottom line is that we've all got complacent. You know, we've all thought that everything's going to go up all the time. And the reality is, just a silly anniversary like that just reminds us that weird things do happen. You know, it wasn't that long ago we had the fluctuations of the global financial crisis in 2007 to 2009. And bottom line is, when you're paying up big for stocks, they've either got to deliver flawlessly, or if there's just a little wiggle or something, or just a sort of a psychological whoopsie, mm-hmm. Some reason for you not to keep on holding those investments, they can pull back on what superficially look all right numbers. I would give things like Unilever and LSE a wide berth.
Yeah.
I mean, it begs the question, what are you buying then, Chris? And we talked about Tesco's in a previous week, and I still think that's the sort of story where you've got a recovery of potential which isn't factored into the share price, which that interests me. Another one I bought actually earlier in the week, I would humbly suggest people take a quick look at is something like EasyJet, where actually the story's got remarkably better over the last few weeks. You know, sure, Brexit shenanigans rumble on, and we all know that is an influence. My view there still is that there's going to be a compromise in due course. But with the shenanigans at Ryanair, with Monarch going under, with Air Berlin going under, EasyJet are just in a much stronger position. Mm-hmm. I looked through their Capital Market Day slides of a couple of weeks ago, and it just struck me that this is the sort of stock they're paying out 50% of their earnings. It could well be the thick end of a 5% yielder over the next 12 months. And, you know, as I say, coming back to sort of the yield you're getting on something like a Unilever at the moment, I'm getting a bit better income. And I think probably much better earnings growth or at least share price growth potential, just because you're starting off at a much cuter valuation.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got some Brexit risk, but hell, you know, what hasn't got that at a certain level? So anyway, that's one I bought when it dipped down on Tuesday morning. And one I would say have a look at.
Yeah, and also it's just a case of looking at the chart there, and Unilever and, what was the other one you mentioned?
So we mentioned LSE, London Stock Exchange.
Sorry, yes, both top right of screen and testing highs, you know, and they both failed. They've both previously been at these highs where they failed. And so it's almost just looking at the chart sometimes and saying, yeah, well, this stock has come off a bit in the last couple of months, now starting to rally, like EasyJet is, like Tesco is as well, and it just looks a lot better on the chart as well, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, we all know that there's no silver bullet on share price, on share picking. It's not sort of a PE ratio or EV EBIT or a technical chart. It's all a bit of a mix. You've got to sort of look for a variety of sources, read the primary stuff from the company and try and work it out yourself. But all these things help and give some kind of insight. The thing is, though, Justin, is that I reckon just as scary as a chart going to that north east quadrant, you know, effortlessly going up, is one going to the southeast. And take a look today at IWG. Now, this is probably a stock many people haven't heard of, but if I say Regis to you, I bet everyone's heard of Regis or maybe uses them or something like that. And Regis became IWG for reasons I'm not clever enough to understand. Obviously, some global rebranding gubbins. But bottom line, they've had an absolute shocker today. The shares are down 33%. And, you know, for reasons related to the fact that they've talked about, unsurprisingly, a profits warning, saying weakness in the London office markets have hurt. There's been disruption due to terrorism and obviously some natural disasters as well around the world, which, you know, people like Unilever have already talked about too. But bottom line is, when a share falls out of favour like this, it is catching a falling knife. Now, I must admit, I haven't paced through the IWG numbers completely, but my observation would be a fall like this, it does capture the attention. It should be a stock that you should look at and try and work out the angles. But it's just as scary as a share price effortlessly making new highs, in my opinion, because on both occasions, the psychology is completely warped and completely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I do look for, I like looking for bargains, but I mean, that is a stabilization in the share price and a fundamental, you know, signposts or the management saying things are getting better, we're cutting down costs, you know, or some kind of positive in the fundamentals that's changed the business from when it fell. That's what I'm looking for. And often that's reflected in the chart as well. But I mean, yeah, just try and catch a fall in life. It's a dangerous thing because you can have like a little bounce and then a further fall, you know, and so it's not a good thing to do.
That's it. And, you know, something like Merlin Entertainments, which is a good company. I use their products or I'm a consumer of their products and stuff like that. And, you know, they had a big shocker a couple of days ago. And that fundamentally is a good company. I don't own shares in it, but it's, I like what they do or what they stand for. But bottom line is, I just don't think you want to be piling into something like that today. I mean, we haven't seen that stabilization of the share price yet, the big fall off has been too recent. But number two is you wait for that extra bit of information. And at the moment, I would suggest, you know, something like that is still a wait. Something like IWG or Regis, again, you know, I'll pace through the stuff, but it takes a brave person to buy something like that. Because unfortunately, the old rule of profit warnings come in threes is kind of right. And I don't know the back history, but my guess is this IWG big warning today, beforehand, there was probably a slightly shabby trading statement, because that's often the way that the nature of the beast. A slightly shabby one becomes a full out profits warning, and then that's followed by a, oh my goodness, we're still bumping along the bottom sort of thing. And that's when the share price starts to stabilize.
Yeah, so group operating profit for 2017 is now expected to be materially below expectations. I never liked that, materially below market expectations.
Absolutely. And when we've seen it before with, you know, things like a Dixon's, for example, Dixon's Carphone recently, you know, it's always problematic. And today's market, you can see that it is a bit warped because it does mean that even these larger companies have these potentially big falls. So that's what you've got to be aware of. My old view of ultimately know what you invest in and why, and you know, adhere to your valuation and other kind of primary information insights is still all critical. And particularly in today's world, it may seem a benign, relatively quiet market, but clearly with moves like this, it isn't. The potential for sort of dodgy shifts and everything else is very apparent.
Yeah, so they're down, they're saying now the operating profit for 2017 between 160 and 170 million. So they are just a 2 billion market cap company. So there you go. Marvellous, Chris, thanks for that. And we'll speak next week, fella.
Sounds good. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. At four, Angus Energy, ANGS. At three, Andalas Energy, ADL. At two, Greatland Gold, GGP. And at one, the most followed company, big rise yesterday, was Vast Resources, VAST. I had the guys on the podcast day before yesterday, I think it was. Also, here are the top five most liked analysts on the platform in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Just come out, actually. Management Resource Solutions, withdrawal of claim. Do you know what? I actually logged in there. I saw that come through via Vox RNS notifications, and it was up about 5% when I saw it. I logged in, took me ages to log into my stockbroker account. I thought, I'll get some of this now because that removes a bit of risk there. and it was £0.06 to buy. And I thought, I've got too much. I'm trying to, de-stock. I have too many stocks in my portfolio. So I nearly did buy it at £0.06. I didn't bother. I said, now listen, I want to get more funds. And it shot up to like to 25% up, just over £0.06, I think. But it's come back a bit now, so you can buy it back at £0.06. But I think now it's, that's de-risked there. As long as the business is as strong as they say, it should be de-risked. But I've got to be disciplined, not buy any more stocks. If I'm going to buy anything else, it's going to buy with the stocks I have already in my portfolio to strengthen their positions on weakness. What else are we looking at? Top five. So at four, MySquare, M-Y-S-Q, MOU with Myanmar Railways. At three, Angus Energy, ANGS, Holmwood Well update. At two, Sieste and Las Energy Power signed to MOU with PT Pertamina and Siemens. And number one, most liked RNS, was from Horizonte Minerals, HZM. I do hold those. Mine construction license application submitted. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.